Minister, over to you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you for the opportunity to report on the work being done at the Black Industrialists and Exporters Conference. We have a presentation that has been circulated. I'm going to ask Tsulu Mushi just to flight it. Thank you. We can go to the next slide. This really just recalls something that the members of the committee would be very familiar with, which is the core mandate of the DTIC and the background to economic empowerment policies. It's about redressing the history of exclusion and the legacy. It's laying the foundation for deeper growth through greater economic inclusion. And that's about improving the pool of enterprise and talent that the economy can draw on to develop and to grow. But it's also recognizing the high inequalities, which is a challenge many countries now face associated with the impact of globalization. So we held the Black Industrialist and Exporter Conference on 20 July. The link to the DTIC annual performance plan is that it addresses matters of industrialization and transformation, which are two of the three key outcomes that we pursue. And the link to the DTIC budget vote is in the budget vote in May this year. I had announced that a Black Exporters Conference would be held during 2022. The next slide. It highlights what the platform, the conference was seeking to do, which was to reflect progress in advancing redress and transforming the economy and discuss initiatives to do more in this regard. It highlighted Black industrialists' capabilities, their contribution to the economy, and it celebrated and recognized those successes. And finally, I identified some challenges. This slide here sets out at a glance some of the key things. More than 800 Black firms participated, 1,300 participants, a number of exhibitors, 139, media coverage, many panelists and speakers, number of cabinet members, 10 excellence awards that were issued or awarded, 5 DFIs and 22 banking and finance officials from the private sector, and 9 buyers from big retailers, including Massmart, ShopRite, Woolworths, the Foschini Group, and Pick and Pay. The next slide really highlights for the committee the 5 platforms. So while we call it a conference, it was really 5 major events that would often be held separately, and we brought these 5 events together. The first of that was the traditional conference forum of plenary speeches and breakaway panels and discussions, ideas, and so on. The second one is the launch of networks of support with the president. The third one was a marketplace where we brought together the products of a number of Black industrialists, similar to exhibitions that were held in the past, but this time it was really structured to highlight the strengths of a number of businesses in our economy. The fourth one was an award of excellence. This would typically be an award that the president would do as a standalone event. It was now wrapped into one of the 5 platforms. And finally, an information media and public awareness platform. And we'd like to take the committee through these 5 platforms in the remainder of the presentation. In the next slide, we really want to let people speak for themselves. I hope members' Wi-Fis would be able to take the bandwidth that's required. But if I can ask Tsulu to see if we can start this.
Is it just me or is there no sound on the video?
We're going to ask Sulu just to try to fix the sound issue. We'll give it another try. If it doesn't work, we can come back to this right to the end. It's the typical problem we often have with Zoom when we try to use videos. It's a real pity, Chairperson, that we don't have sound, because it's a really interesting, though very short video that highlights the stories of black industrialists.
Minister, maybe Sulu can click on the microphone or the speaker here on the right-hand side of the slide. And maybe just up the volume. No, on the other side.
It seems that we haven't quite mastered the trick, Chairperson. So if you scroll, yeah, that you see the little speaker at the there. I think that's what the chair is referring to. Now it's on mute there. I would suggest, Chair, that we, it's a real pity, because it's a powerful short video in which people tell their own stories. And it would really have provided a good context, but I was fearful that Zoom may let us down, or our own IT skills may let us down. I can't blame Zoom for this one.
Maybe if Sulu just clicks on the right. You need to take it up higher.
It's a wonderful moment where the chair of the committee is giving us technical support.
I don't know if it's going to work, though.
Unless it's not working. so what I would suggest is we're going to have to deprive committee members of a really interesting video. If we can make it work in the course of the discussion, even if it's after the Q&A session, then we can do so. But I would suggest, to save time, let's move to the next slide. Okay. So we're now going to deal with the five platforms for Black Industries and Black Exporters Conference. The next slide then starts with the first platform. And this was the forum discussions, what one would traditionally know as a conference. It was a plenary session that we had. It was addressed by the president and the ministry too. And then six high-level panel sessions that looked at various topics, the impact of broad-based empowerment. What can we celebrate? Where are we? Strengthening the impact of transformation. What should we focus on? Where do we go? Facilitating transformation, we looked there at the role of supplier development and procurement. Then next, we look at financing for black industrialists, exports in the AFC-FTA, and finally, the impact of broad-based black economic empowerment. Next slide. This was really the president's keynote address. We've highlighted some extracts of what the president had said, where he provided a little bit of context to the conference, and he pointed to some of the numbers. We'll come back to some of those shortly. Next slide. More from the president, where he refers to the 28 years into democracy, what are some of barriers we face, and why, in spite of these barriers, we've made progress, and why we celebrate that progress. The next slide looks at the need for the public and private sector to coordinate, but it also says, and here the president made the point, that we need to talk about the inefficiencies in the economy that affect established and emerging businesses alike. The steps to improve the state of port, rail lines and roads, the far-reaching reforms in telecommunications, energy and water, and recognizing that if we have load shedding, you'll see the president said in particular we need to act decisively and urgently to end the load shedding that is causing such damage to our economy, such disruption to our society. Like every other actor in the economy, black industrialists can simply not grow without a reliable supply of affordable energy. The next slide is really just a number of people who are panelists. You see the Minister of Finance there in the middle at the bottom, and you'll see the chairman of Massmart also there. If we go to the next slide. In that forum discussion, you see a little snapshot of some of the attendees. Next slide. Similar, next slide. A shot from the back, next slide. Further shot, next slide. This was the first panel discussion after the plenary session. It was moderated by Minister Gurungwana. The panel members were Gloria Serobi, who is the director of Workhold, Kuseni Dlamini, the chairperson of Massmart, Busi Mabuza, the chair of IDC, and Cindy Mabaso Koyana, the chairperson of Alka Investment Holdings. Next slide. Here we just summarize some of the key points that came up, some proposals made by panelists. I'm not going to run through all of these in detail, Chair, because we had pre-circulated a version of the presentation with it. But really the points that came up in this was commercializing innovative products and services, generating new industries, the need to have more innovative funding structures, including venture capital to support black entrepreneurs, the role of both the banks and the financial institutions, and the need to have a focus on global markets. Next slide. This is where I had moderated the session and with panel members, Nolita Fakude, the chairperson of Anglo-American, Ilias Monahe, president of the Black Business Council, Zungiswa Losi, the president of COSATU, Kadisi Jonas, the chairperson of MTN, and Sabine Dalomo, the CEO of Siemens, South Africa. Next slide. Here are some of the key points: that transformation is not only ownership, skills development of ordinary workers is critical, there's a role for master plans, worker ownership is widely welcome, that wealth generated must be reinvested, that we need to work on a cycle of wealth creation and reinvestment as opposed to consumption, that corruption in procurement damages legitimate black entrepreneurship and must be tackled as part of our efforts to highlight the achievements of genuine black industrialization with industrialists. We talked about localization and its importance, and that the successes of broad-based empowerment is not always well communicated, and this is not simply a government responsibility. All of society should take this forward. Next slide. Some proposals on supporting sustainable businesses. I'll point out the fourth one, which is an ecosystem of support by black industrialists for other emerging black businesses. That it's not always the state or large businesses that must play a role, but that we need to encourage a view that successful black businesses need to pull others also up. Next slide. This was a panel on facilitating transformation and the role of supplier development and procurement. Minister Nchaveni was the moderator. We had the CEO of Transnet, Persia Darby, Chief Procurement Officer acting from Treasury, Molefe Fani, the Managing Director of Coca-Cola, Velapi, Rachefola, the Divisional Financial Manager of ShopRite, Maud Modise, the owner and founder of Ikukasa Green, Tami Kowa, the Black Business Council, CEO Hanki Matabani, and the Director of Samsung, Shubi Shivanda. Next slide goes into key points, some proposals made by panelists looking at competition, multi-stakeholder alliances, networks, and the tracking of the impact of what we do. Next slide. This was chaired by Minister Mamloko Kubayi and Harold Harvey. Panel members included the CEO of the IDC, Tipin Chocho, the CEO of Standard Bank, Sim Shabalala, the head of the NAF, Pilisiwe Mthethwa, the principal partner of Identity Partners, Sonia De Bruin, the executive director of Naledi Ring Rollers, Sibusiso Mapatiani, and the CEO of Rail to Rail, Ms. Zikita Zatu Moloi. Next slide. This highlighted some key points, what we were seeking to do, the capital and financing gap, bankability as being important, which refers to getting projects to a point where the private sector can also come in and financially underwrite those measures. Some proposals on the risk appetite of the banking sector, coordination issues came up, portal of information on what's available by both the public and private sector, and ease of funding systems. You can call it the red tape part of it. Next slide. Was moderated by Minister Toko Didiza. Panel members included the COO of the Export Credit Insurance Corporation, Mandisi Nkuhlu, the CEO of Oya Foods, Rehama Issa, the head of BT Industrial, Homotso Lekola, the CEO of Seven Sisters, Vivian Kleinhans, the MD of AMCA, Nizam Kala, and the CEO of Easy Farm, Luvengwa Nemau Rani. The next slide really highlights some of the panel discussions, the proposals made, and the announcement that ECIC and IDC are working together to see how they can create a collaborative facility of export finance and credit insurance. Next slide. It was moderated by Minister Tulas Nesi and Ayabonga Kawe, panel members from at the Association of Black Securities and Investment Professionals, chairperson of the NEF, the executive chair of Rothschild, and the president's economic advisor. So these were Polo Leteka, Ntabiseng Moleko, Martin Kingston, and Trudy Makaya. Next slide. Some key points that's come out. The country's come a long way since the narrow focus on highly leveraged ownership deals, that BEE needs to be complemented with economic diversification and structural change. You need a stronger and more agile bureaucracy and a state that actually gets things done more quickly than many business people experience, and the important role of public procurement. Next slide. Some proposals made on the review of codes and charters, the growth of small and medium enterprises, and dealing with concentrated product and service markets, and the role of various institutions to support entry into new markets, particularly export markets. Next slide. So this goes to the second platform. This is where we brought together a number of business people and others. So we launched, for example, a number of entities. This was the public launch of the Broad-Based Black Economic Empowerment Council. Next slide. This sets out a little bit of background on the council. Honorable members would be familiar with this. Next slide. This is the launch of the Black Exporters Network that brings together a number of business people that are already active in exports and want to use their combined efforts to strengthen South Africa's export effort further. Next slide. This really just provides a little bit of information. The current membership is close to 80. It continues to grow. The incentives like auto components, food, machinery, doors, clothing, energy, chemicals, pharmaceuticals, furniture, rail, and so on. And they're active outside of South Africa in Southern African markets. Some are well beyond the African continent. Japan, USA, China, many others. Next slide. This is just to highlight the story of Oya Foods. This was one of the firms that was launched during the pandemic. They do this long shelf life, ready to eat or ready to cook. Food for health conscious consumers. So they include dried veg and beverages, ready to drink, snacks, pestos, and so on. And then there's a comment by the founder on just what it meant to her to walk around the stalls and see the kind of products that are available that are being produced by Black South Africans. Next slide. This was an example of a company called Baines Transformer Technology, started by Ernst Baines in Gauteng. They manufacture small and medium power transformers, as well as small substations and wind and solar renewable transformers. They have customers as far as the Middle East, and Ernest Baines' comment after the conference was that their expansion into African markets has been strongly promoted by the department, and they find that that's helpful to them. And we hope that those kind of businesses will grow much, much more. Next slide. This is a third example of a company that's part of the Black Export Drive, Afro India Rolling Mills. They produce aluminium and copper alloys. And there's some information there. They export aluminium ingots to Japan, Indonesia, and Thailand, as well as Italy. And they produce for Toyota, Honda, and Sato. And they've provided Imran, Umar, and some of the other people are highlighted there. They talk there about the experience of the conference. Next slide. This is a company called Ario, Ario Metapower. They design and manufacture power electronic equipment. So these would be inverters. They tell me that they are the only producer in South Africa. They also do rectifiers and soft starters. Some of their products go into renewable energy system. Mitsubishi Electric Europe selected them as a preferred supplier of inverters. Their two co-founders are Dr. Ramatsela Masango, who's the company's chairperson, and Louis Haynes, who's the MD. Dr. Masango is quite an interesting person. She received a PhD in nuclear engineering from Penn State University in the United States, and she previously held the position of senior manager for safety and licensing at the PBMR fuel plant. This was the Pebble Bed modular regulator. This was what they would call the mini nuclear power plants that South Africa had worked on many years ago. And she talks there about the Black Exporters Network, and during the conference she met with potential investor, and they're engaging with us in potential investor. Next slide. This is just the formal MOU signing ceremony. You see a happy, smiling Minister Didiza also there in the background. And behind all of them will be the President and a number of people who are Black exporters. Next slide. Other networks, for example, we had a filmmakers network that was set up. We brought together the auto component makers and Black industrial innovators, and they're really about connecting Black South Africans with other persons in that sector so that they can begin to use the power of networking to open up opportunities, particularly for exports, but also more broadly to grow businesses. Next slide. This was the Black auto component makers. We'll come back to one of the companies that we highlight later in the presentation. So these are people who make the components that go into vehicles. All right, so the third platform is a marketplace of exhibitors where firms showcase what they produce, and procurers and investors walk around and engage them. And this picture shows, as you entered this marketplace, there were around 30 food and beverage exhibitors. Next slide. And you'll see a lot of citrus fruit, and Honorable Cuthbert was asking about access to the EU market. So it's really, it's an industry that there are a number of players that are really keen to get their products sold, because our production exceed by far the capacity of the South African market to absorb. The marketplace showcased products from Black industrialists. It helped to lift the profile for financiers, for procurers, and for a broader South African audience through the media coverage. And we did a very interactive exhibition. You won't see those kind of boring old-style exhibition, but it was one where consumers, business people could engage more easily, and there were coffee areas. It was quite well set up, and the DTIC will now be adjusting all of their future exhibitions to draw on the experience here. Next slide. This is just further pictures. There you see furniture companies. We got them to bring their furniture there, and people actually use the furniture for network meetings. You see 32 fashion sector industries with their products there. Next slide. In in the marketplace, we had 139 businesses, and you'll see they're in agriculture and processing, cars and chemicals and plastics and cosmetics and energy and oil and gas and clothing and footwear and foam and furniture, in general manufacturing, in innovation and technology sectors, and in metal and mining. And they took pictures there where the president is with a company, Afrobotanics, and with Glenn Carroll. Next slide. We also had visitors booths where the DTIC services and that of the IDC and the NEF were displayed, and people could engage at a senior level with the leadership of the entities of the DTIC. Next slide. Some exhibitors even reported that they had sales and some investment interest generated. We had the Eastern Cape, Free State, Gauteng, KwaZulu-Natal, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, Northwest and Western Cape businesses represented there. Next slide. In the marketplace, one of the companies was that of Zanele Moholi, who is a Cape Town-based designer and who collaborated with Gavin Raja to produce the a particular homeware collection. And this would have included cushions, carpets, throws, curtains, and candles. And then Gavin Raja himself is also a Black South African fashion and interior designer, was launched the Cape Town Fashion Week and was invited to show at the Paris Fashion Week. So this would be all examples of excellence that we're highlighting in the marketplace. Next slide. And this is a quote from Gavin Raja on his work. They've been approached to work with South African companies to design and manufacture carpets, with textile manufacturers to create fabrics, and they're exporting to the US, Italy, and France. And there were a little bit of a picture of this stand with Somyama Ngonyama at the stand. Next slide. This was a really interesting exhibitor, VM Automotive. They supply aluminium and steel products to the auto industry, and they do these metal blanks that are used for the various body parts of vehicles. They've manufactured metal blanks for 10 new body parts for the fourth generation Mercedes C-Class, and these were parts that were previously imported from Europe. And the C-Class is exported to more than 80 markets around the world. So it means that what a Black South African produces here is the cladding, the all of these components that you see, that those who drive Mercedes-Benz across the world, in Europe, US, and elsewhere, it's all made in a factory in South Africa. And the current C-Class is now projected to be exported to 110 countries, and the shareholder and CEO is Gibson Njenje. Next slide. So this is where the president viewed the stand and what was being produced at VM. And there's also some feedback that Mr. Njenje has given us on OEMs and other potential clients who want to visit his plants. Next slide. Pamotzi Unique was also showcasing their work. They design and manufacture equipment for mining and chemical and many other products. And you'll see some of their pumps and their pantographs, which is produced here, and Cindy Siwe Dlamini spoke a little bit about the value of the conference that recognizes both black companies that are pushing through despite the challenges in the economy, and it demonstrates and instills a sense of pride in the work that are doing. Many black South Africans, they find, they often say, make the point that it's quite tough to survive in the business world, and when they are recognized, it makes years of hard work, of sacrifice, of often taking risks and sometimes paying a heavy price for it. It gives them that that recognition. Next slide. This was a picture of the president engaging with people who are making all sorts of sauces, black South African making sauces that are used in our foods and that enhances and tickles the palate. So next slide. GET Mining Services, they do tools for the mining industry, loading equipment, quite big ones. And they've been in the market for a number of years, and Olivia Fuka has given some feedback from the company's point of view. Next slide. This takes us to the fourth platform. It's the Award of Excellence. This was, we had put out a public call for nominations, we received a large number of nominations for different award categories: local manufacturer, innovation and technology, sustainability, job creator, youth industrialist, women industrialist, and black exporter were some of the categories. You see the number of entries and then the number of finalists. Next slide. This was our judging panel, Dr. Moleko, who is the chair of the NEF, Ms. Mabuza, the chairperson of the IDC, Mr. Mashimbie, the CEO of Proudly South Africa, and our very own Ms. Mabichi Thompson, the DDG of the DTIC. Next slide. We gave a special award, a Pioneer Industrialist Award. And the president from the nomination that was put up, the president then made this award. It was given to Gloria Serobi. She was born in Guguletu in the Western Cape. She started a professional career at Exxon Corporation in the U.S. She returned to South Africa to work in the Premier Group's Epic Oils and then Munich Reinsurance. She then took a cut in salary to escape the routine of accounting and moved into investment and merchant banking with a standard corporate. In 96, Gloria joined Transnet as Group Financial Director until 2001. That was a time when Transnet was still making money and doing really good things. And she served on the company's board as well as boards of a number of subsidiaries. Later, she founded Whiphold with Louisa Mojela, Wendy Luhabi, and Nomshle Tanka. And she joined the company full-time as executive director and later CEO of its subsidiary, Whip Capital. So she has had an extraordinary influence on many young women who see a country that that is opening up opportunities for women, for black South Africans. And after many years of really being an icon in the sector, this was the first opportunity for her to be recognized. And it was quite an emotional moment for her and for the other women in Whiphold, which is a women's investment holding company. The next slide. It looks at the manufacturing award finalists. You see the four companies were nominated. You'll see where they're from and all sorts of details and who are their main persons. Next slide. BT Industrial was the winner. They manufacture plastic pipes which are used in the continent as part of infrastructure programs. But during COVID-19, they pivoted and diversified the manufacturing portfolio from engineering into healthcare. And they did personal protective equipment and products. And they produced a medical filter that was used to manufacture masks for export to Europe and the United States. They are diversifying now into the manufacture of syringes that they seek to align to global standards for exports. Next slide. Just really has a picture of the CEO getting the award from the president, with Deputy Minister Majola being in that picture. Just go back one. So that's the picture there. Next slide. There were four technology and innovation finalists: Cape Bio, Daniel, Ndima, Basamaya, Maive, Carbocade, and Screamer Electronic Services. Next slide. Cape Bio was regarded as one of the two winners. Cape Bio is a biotechnology company that manufactures the enzymes used in molecular biology research and diagnostics. They produce diagnostic test kits for COVID-19, HIV, syphilis, malaria, and they do work on oncology as well as lab consumables and reagents. They're the first manufacturer of a COVID-19 PCR test to get South African Health Product Regulatory Authority approval, and they currently employ 100 people. And they've got a really strong track record, and they supply products, not just in South Africa, but outside South Africa and across the world, the US, Canada, India, and so on. Next slide. So this was the Cape Biotechnology winner. Next slide. The Sustainability Award finalists, we had companies Pele Green, Low Masters and Revive Electrical Transformers. Next slide. Pellegrin was one of the winners. They co-developed off-grid generation capacity. They also operate in utility scale and off, in the utility scale and off-grid projects. And they're one of the 28 preferred bidders in South Africa's first round of renewable energy independent power producer procurement program alongside Soitec, and that was a 36 megawatt concentrated solar PV project, and they also have a significant women ownership. Next slide. Their Minister Didiza hands over the award in the presence of the president. Next slide. For the Job Creator Award, we had Kabukede, Motla Lefi, and Chakchali, which says, beware the kick. Next slide. Kabukede was one of the winners. They located in Jemison. They provide services for landfill operations and management, the rehabilitation of these landfill areas, waste collection and training, and they're 100% black owned. But I want to draw attention to the strong women owned element, to 51% women owned, and they partner with municipalities to train youth. Next slide. We had a second winner here, Moshlalefi. They design and manufacture safety structures, roof tendons, and anchors for underground mining operations to address this problem of fall of ground, which is the leading cause of death in South African mines. They've got roofing and safety structures that they sell in the mining industry and that they export to Zambia and Zimbabwe, and they're looking now at the DRC. They've got an innovation team. They've generated their own patents and they've established technology partnerships with mining houses like Anglo American. They've created 187 jobs, two-thirds being young people, and they're one of the few black youth-owned and managed companies servicing the mining sector. Next slide. There we just see the winners from both companies, Kabukedi and Moshlalefi Engineering, receiving the awards, with Minister Kubai proudly looking on. Next slide. This was for the Youth Industrialist Award. Again, Kate Bayo was renominated for this, as well as KTO, Chet Lane Holdings, and Clomelo Electronics and IT Solutions. Next slide. The winner was Chet Lane Holdings, or it's a student accommodation company. It's accredited by UJ for off-campus student accommodation, and they're housing 264 students, strong women ownership, and they employ 225 workers. Next slide. There's the owner getting the award from Minister Didiza. Next slide. These were the Women Industrialist Award. We had a number of nominees. You see six nominees. We had more nominees for this category than any of the other categories. And we had two winners for this category also. Next slide. The first winner was Astrofica. And Astrofica Technologies, they design and build satellites and also manufacture ground-based support systems for the export market. They export to the UAE, Saudi Arabia, Europe, Australia, and the US. It's 50% women-owned. It's rare in the industry. They meet quite significant ISO standards. And the name Astrofica, which is a combination of Astro and Africa, was conceptualized by Jesse Ndaba and Khalid Manju when they worked as interns in one of the projects by the Department of Science and Innovation. The Astrofica satellite competencies have gained experience in the space sector over a long period, so they basically take those competencies to market and their business methodology that they've pioneered. So that's one of the winners of the Women Industrialists, and that's Jessin Daba. Next slide is a very different product. This is Lindiwe sanitary pads, which manufacture pads for both middle class and poorer black South Africans in townships and urban and rural areas. They started with 14 jobs and now employ 90 people. They sell to government, to cliques, and to cash and carry. They work with NGOs and private businesses to raise money so that they can enable young girls in disadvantaged communities from accessing affordable sanitary pads. And they say more than 1,200 girls have benefited from just programs that are in this category, besides the other work, commercial work that they do. And they do charity work in high schools, universities, and villages in the Eastern Cape and Northwest. Next slide. There's the winner. Both winners, Astrofica and Lindiwe Sanitary Pads. Next slide. brings us to the Black Exporter Award. We had three companies that were nominated. Next slide. The winner was Microfinish. They make safety components for internal combustion engines in the auto sector, as well as in marine and locomotive industries. This includes valve guides and valve seat inserts, which are installed in the piston compartment and are directly responsible for engine efficiency. They also produce parts that are used on vehicle brake and clutch systems, and they export 98% of their production to the EU, to the US, and to the UK. And they employ about 100 workers directly, and they support 300 indirect jobs. Next slide. Just shows the then Gauteng Premier joining us on the stage to provide the to give the award to Microfinish. Next slide. That brings us to the fifth and final platform that we had. This is research work undertaken on the impact of broad-based empowerment with the provisional results release. We have asked for further work to be commissioned, which will next year provide a wider impact assessment of the transformation measures, and it's been supplemented by case studies of Black industrialists. Next slide. The work that was done by the DPIC group showed that more than 900 firms have been supported in the past 6 years from 2016, when the Black Industrialist Program was specifically launched. And that 900 number excludes BEE transactions, where it is just shareholding in a company, but not a company that is owned and controlled by Black South Africans. And these companies report that they've employed about 70,000 workers over this period. And if we take it over a 12-year period, the initial projected gross impact for a 12-year period for the Black industrialists in the DTIC programs is 160 billion rand. That work was done on the economic modeling. But we want to widen the scope, look at the number of other projects that the DTIC is working on. And we hope next year to be able to provide a more extensive figure on the impact of broad-based Black economic empowerment on the GDP. Next slide. We looked at worker ownership. There are 450,000 workers in South Africa employed by 72 companies where those workers have shares in the companies that they work for, and the DTIC now runs seek to monitor that through a register of companies known to have these employee share ownership programs. If we look beyond worker ownership to Black entrepreneurs, just in the formal sector, there were 337,000 Black entrepreneurs in 2021, and 52%, they make up 52% of the total. So even with the knock of COVID, we still had a significant number of Black entrepreneurs in the formal sector of the economy. The next slide looks at the impact of Black South Africans in management and professional occupations. And we compared it from 2002 to 2020, because we had more credible data from 2002 in the statistics series. So it would have been even more interesting to look at it from 1994 or even 1993, but the data isn't as credible. So in that period, in the private sector, we had an increase in the number of Black people in management and professional occupations, going up from about 300,000 to about 870,000. In the public sector, it grew from about, let's call it 200,000 to about just over 500,000. And if you add public and private sector together, it grew from 492,000 to 1.4 million Black South Africans that are now in management and professional occupations over that period. Next slide. The department also produced a publication which profiled Black industrialists and exporters. It was launched in the conference, but it was really a standalone publication. It's available in electronic form. The department is updating it, and we hope we can have this as quite an important registry in future that Black South Africans can use to showcase their products. It's not all of the Black industrialists, just taken a slice of it, because it would make it for a very thick publication if we had to bring everyone into it. Next slide. Post-event feedback, there was a survey that the department conducted. 200 participants came back with feedback, and it was quite positive. Sepiso from Chuck Chili Foods, for example, really valued the interaction with DFIs and the other stakeholders. Cindy Mabaso, Kuyana, was impressed with the practical solutions that were provided. The fact the whole thing was very action-driven. Yeshni Ramkisan highlighted the keynote address by the president, and she says, as a young female, being part of this event for the first time motivates me to be better and to do more for the employees of our company. And Vin Naidu of BK Steel found the exhibitions and the stalls as the highlight. Next slide. This is a company that wrote in specifically to say how much they valued this and who they worked with and who they'd like to say thank you to, and also appreciated the work that was done by the various entities of the DTIC, and honorable members will see there the things that they say. Next slide. There was a lot of pre-conference publicity and post-conference publicity. Here is the president prior to the conference highlighting the importance of the conference. Many different business publications from News 24 to Business Day covered it. 702 SAFM, CNBC Africa, and SABC TV, as well as radio. Next slide. These were just extracts. The print is a bit small, but publications and things highlighting the storyline from the IDC, from the NEF, and the importance of small business to ignite South African growth. Next slide. And then post-conference, we had very extensive coverage of what was said. It was spread across many different publications. Next slide. Some conclusions. Next slide. I think on the whole, the conference was seen as an opportunity really for interaction. It was bringing people from across the country together, and for current clients of the DTIC group, they were able to showcase their products. It reinforced the support that's available to Black industrialists, and it highlighted the need for early stage development funding and some new ideas of how we can sharpen our support programs. Next slide. Some of the industrialists took the opportunity to interact with service providers like transport, raw material supply. Some businesses are now recognized as innovators in their sector. For example, Moshla Lefi Engineering supplies the mining industry, and Saudi Arabia is very keen to expand their own mining industry. So the company was invited to be part of the South African business delegation for the president's state visit to Saudi Arabia. BT Industrial and the NEF now are looking to establish a partnership around the local needle and pre-filled syringe market. Next slide. The media appearance of the DFIs and the DTIC in the week preceding and after conference helped to make its services more widely known, and we even had the DFIs working more closely with each other. I was told there's a partnership that is being explored with French and Italian potential investors. And also it highlighted the efforts and successes of South African industrialists in the economy. And it challenged a storyline that the program is for politically connected people with no real businesses involved. And it also challenged a storyline that there are no black industrialists in South Africa. Well, if there are, they perform low value-adding activities. I think many people were just quite taken aback at the innovation, the high-tech sectors that black South Africans were getting in, but also the struggles. Many of the businesses were saying how tough it is in global markets, but that's part of what the forum did. It provided an opportunity for all of this to come out. Next slide. We had put a senior team together from the whole DTIC group. In other words, this was an attempt at working as an integrated team and not something that only one branch of the DTIC did. The overall coordinator was Eunice Hussein of Invest South Africa, and Eunice was supported by Tsepo Ramodibe from the IEDC, Shabir Khan is the acting director general in this period, Kinsani Mageza from the IDC, and Malebo Mabichi Thompson, who is deputy DG. The support of the IDC, NEF, and ECIC was really quite valuable, and their support was led by the CEOs, and I'd like to express my appreciation. A lot of the work in the panels was done by the various staff in the ministry, together with Ayabonga Kawe, supported by Stephen Hannibal. The marketplace was coordinated by Willem van der Spey from the export branch of the DTIC, and he had strong support from Mohamed Wouter from the competition branch, and Kinsani Mageza from the IDC. So they each brought different elements to it to really showcase South African industrial capabilities. Work on the networks was led by Malebo Mabichi Thompson with the support from Kagiso Mamabolo and Lerato Mataboge. The awards work was led by Jody Scholz and the panel of judges. I've highlighted who those panel of judges were. A lot of the media management and the marketing was led by Tsepo Ramodibe from the IDC, and we had strong support from GCIS and from there was support also from the DTIC media team. And conference attendance was driven by Annelies van der Merwe, who did a lot of work. She had strong support from Tembinkosi Kula. And then we brought in a number of people from the special, the industrial, the finance, the export, and the competition branches, the IDC, the NEF, the Competition Commission, and the ministry staff. What it did highlight for us was that there wasn't an integrated database in the DTIC. And so each branch and each entity keeps their own client list. And this was the first time there was an attempt to begin to bring these together. So we've learned a lot here about the need to find better integration in a common database across the DTIC group, which is still a work in progress. Next slide. We were also supported by private sector sponsors, large South African companies, MTN, Sanlam, Aspen, Hollard, and Distell. There were international sponsors like Samsung, Fortune Steel, Unica, and VS Steel. There were black industrialists who sponsored the conference, Amka Products, African Sun Oil, Agni Steel, that's a spelling error, it should be Agni Steel, Bliss Chemicals, Dersots, GQ Tissue, ProRoof, and Macrocom. And the next slide looks at the next steps. For the Black Industrialist Program, it's first to measure better, to do more research on the impact of broad-based black economic empowerment, to learn what works best and what requires change. It's to communicate better, to tell the stories of black industrialists more confidently, for them to tell their stories, for all of us, members of parliament from all the different parties can begin to tell these stories of success, which can inspire many more young people to enter industry. It's to implement better, to improve the speed of our programs, to secure more development and more jobs for the money invested, and to scale up, to do more based on successful examples and shift resources from low impact to higher impact measures. Very many useful lessons have been learned from the conference. We know the department is clear to me in their advice. They say they can do even better next time, although the conference attendees were filled with a lot of positive feedback. The department has seen a few ideas that they can implement even better, and this will help to inform both the Black Industrialist Program and the information base being developed by the DTIC. There's also wide support that we should have a similar conference. The debate is whether it should be held annually, which is what everybody is beginning to push, or whether we do it every 18 months, that we can also have a regular place where there's a report back to South Africa on the work that is being done. The next slide is really just a few annexes. Next slide in the annex is to recall the three broad areas of focus of the transformation program. The next slide thereafter, which is the final slide, just highlights 12 specific programs where black industrialists are able to get some support, and some of these and all of these have some kind of DTIC link. And that brings the presentation to a conclusion, and I'd like to hand back to the chair. And as I hand back to the chair, I'd like to express the appreciation to the DTIC group, that's not only the department but also the entities. And just as we saw with the WTO, we had that picture of our ambassador Polelwa Mulumbi Peter, who's doing really great work in Geneva for South Africa and for the DTIC. We've seen here also, we set a very high goal, and the team lost a little bit of sleep, but they were beaming with delight when they saw it all come together on the day of the conference and afterwards. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much, Minister. Oh, have we managed to get sound?
Chair, we can just perhaps try one more time and see if third time lucky or not.
The dawn of democracy in South Africa, unleashed entrepreneurial potential previously suppressed over decades and centuries. South Africa has reaped the benefit as black entrepreneurs have forged new paths in business, growing South Africa's economy and expanding employment. With a clear objective of creating multiple and diverse pathways and instruments to enable the entry of black industrialists into strategic and targeted industrial sectors and value chains, the government's Black Industrial Program has achieved significant progress and is geared to further increase the participation of black industrialists in the national economy. Industrialists are important to market economies. Their activities not only drive economic growth, the jobs created are important for national development. In the context of South Africa and its history, the need to promote the creation and long-term sustainability of black industrialists was the driving force in establishing the Black Industrialists Program. Indeed, the South African economy can only grow if we bring more black South Africans into the productive economy. A new breed of black entrepreneurs is emerging. This is a group of individuals who are directly involved in the origination, creation, significant ownership, management and operation of industrial enterprises. By creating new products and services, they stimulate employment and contribute to national economic development. Allow me to take you on a journey as we explore the work and successes of some of the black industrialists in South Africa. Let us hear their stories and just how they have emerged as recognizable industrialists amidst the various challenges that may have come their way. The BT Industrial Group is officially licensed to act as a manufacturer, distributor and exporter by the South African Health Products Regulatory Authority. We caught up with Mr. Khomotso Legola. Khomotso, pleasure to catch up with you again, my brother. Tell me a little bit more about your business journey before I discuss specifics with you.
I went to school, university, joined the corporate sector. About 15 years ago, I decided to go out on my own. I refocused my energies to trying to look more at systemic problems that the developing world, which is where we are, where we could have the biggest impact. So I went deeper into engineering, where we're doing water management on mines, and at the time we were procuring pipes and other durable goods. And myself and my team at the time, we got into a debate of saying, if we're going to be meaningfully impacting, should we be procuring?
Sure.
What if we actually made the product? We decided in 2018 to start producing pipes. And that's really where the story started, is that if you don't control the means of production, if you don't have the know-how, the capability, you are going to be subservient to those companies. We found South African private sector companies that were interested in procuring our products, but we also became very successful overseas. We have not done much commercial engagement on the public sector. So you can imagine now we've developed this really wonderful product. How do you then get it into public sector? Do you do it through a tender? I don't know. So it's not an area that we've spent much time trying to unpack. We've rather focused on where we knew we could make things work in the way which we understand.
Thank you very much. Talk to us. MCR Plastics is a manufacturer and distributor of automotive interior components based in Port Elizabeth. We linked up with Mr. Morgan Vaterboer to get a clearer insight on how he evolved from being an employee to become the supplier to VW.
Quite an interesting journey, apparently, that you've traveled the past, what, 20 years or so up to where MCR is today?
For 17 years, I worked for Volkswagen, where I will be traveling the world for a lot of projects that we sign off with regards to the tooling. In 2019 was my biggest break within the market to see that there is more entrepreneurs like us needed within the industry to become suppliers to the automotive sector. Hence, MCR Plastics was registered in 2017, but we only started to trade in 2019. unfortunately 2020 happened, where COVID-19 was a devastated situation for MCR Plastic. Our breakthrough came through Volkswagen of South Africa, where we got our first contract for a local supplier within Karika.
Morgan, thank you very much and all the best to you.
Highly appreciate it.
Remco Manufacturing specializes in the manufacturing and supply of complex mechanical assemblies and components for the rail, telecoms, infrastructure and electrical sectors. Established in 2015, the company has a 51% black women ownership held by Mahuma Investment Holdings, the Mahuma siblings Gwen and her brother Teboho. Let us in on their journey. Thanks for giving me the opportunity to talk to you about your business. Very fascinating story from what I've gathered.
We grew up in a family that was business orientated. The first transaction that we did, we have a company called Mahuma Investment Holdings. Mahuma Investment Holdings basically focuses in the infrastructure sector. So when we started initially, we started by buying equity into a company that manufactured roof bolts for the mine.
You manufacture
petrol pumps now? We are one of the main suppliers for Gibela and Alstom, who are manufacturing train for Plaza. Mm. So we make actually quite a hell of a lot of products for them.
Which is, brings me to my final question then, that, you know, South Africa has got a variety of economic challenges. What do you think people should expect, those who want to be like you?
As a black woman who probably won't have access to a lot, unlike our white counterparts, it's true that is the case. But I still say there's a lot of vice versa, there's also a lot of opportunities because you're black. When we went to the IDC, we didn't think that, you obviously hope you'll get the funding, but we didn't think we will get it, and we got it. Because we had a great idea.
Thanks again for sitting down for this chat with me, and also educating me in the process. I appreciate it.
No, thank you very much. We appreciate the opportunity to be heard as well.
On the southern slopes of the Soutpansberg, near Toyando in northern Limpopo, lies a citrus and banana farm spanning over 202 hectares. Easy Farm is an operation founded by an agricultural pioneer, Israel Nemaurani, in 1990. Easy Farm today has 115 hectares of citrus, mostly Valencias, and 60 to 70 hectares of bananas. We are now joined by Lavengwa, Israel's son, who is currently running the farm.
Tell me the history of Easy Farm. How did it become your family's asset and now in full production mode where it is?
Well, basically my late dad started the farm in 1990. We were still young by then. Basically he moved from Tembisa and then he bought himself a piece of land in Venda. Mm. Well, basically our main crop is citrus. We've got different varieties of citrus. 80% of the citrus basically goes to the international market. The 20% goes either to the juice factories in Tzaneen or we sell it locally to the bucketry. But the bananas is all local. Basically, I've got 60 hectares of land on the farm, which is still virgin land. I need to establish that on soft citrus, which I've already signed the contract with the owners of that certain cultivar. And yes, they are willing to come on board.
You actually threw a thought in my mind that you could have chosen to be a consumer, but you chose to be a producer.
Yes.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Appreciate it.
VM Automotive, based in both East London, Eastern Cape, as well as in Roslyn, Gauteng, is a fully transformed 100% black-owned supplier of aluminium and steel automotive panels as part of its flagship innovation. VM Automotive introduced laser blanking as a new technology in the manufacturing process for the latest C-Class Mercedes-Benz W206 model. Mr. Gibson Njenje took us in to share with us the journey as an industrialist in the automotive sector.
Thanks, Pragib, for allowing me into your office space and having this opportunity to talk to you about VM Automotive and your involvement in business. How did you get involved in the automotive industry?
Now, thank you for coming through, Tim. Yes, I started the company in 2012, and having been interested in the automotive from 2013, I then focused on building my own company. We started supplying the series from here, actually, until the series, the old series ran out, W205. Now they're running to W206. But W205, we supplied from here, from Roslyn. So in 2019, we put in a bid for the contract of the W206 with Mercedes-Benz. And we went to our funders and told them this is what we're doing and would want you to support us. They said, okay, look at it. Let's see what it looks like.
But Gibson, Jensen, thank you very much for talking to me. I appreciate your time. Smith Capital designs and manufactures aerial platforms, drilling rigs, as well as truck-mounted cranes. A family business operated by Mrs. Fortunate and Mr. Sipo Mdanda. Mrs. Mdanda took us through her operations in Germiston. And thanks for allowing us to pay you a visit here and look at your plant. Quite impressive work that's going on here. I would have thought that you've been in business for 20, 30 years, but interesting revealing that it's not so long time ago.
No, not at all. We've only been in this journey for just 5 years.
As a family, right?
Yes, as a family. As I say, my husband and I, Sipho Mdanda, are in the business together.
Yes.
We ventured into this journey in 2016, where we used all our savings and he left corporate. I still stayed on just a bit to make sure we put everything in place. We sold his shares. We used our savings to just to have the skin in the game. And then we acquired our first business, which is Kolega in KZN, which designs, manufacture, truck bodies and trailers.
Mm-hmm.
We acquired Smith Capital in 2015 November. We had to go and knock for funding. We knocked at different commercial funding institutions. We knocked at DFIs as well, and NEF did approve us.
And how much support did they give you?
We got a 26 million loan to acquire the business, and we are quite grateful because it allowed us to get funding at a very competitive pricing rate and terms. And also what we are very grateful for with this funding is it came with very, very good post-funding support, which I am assuming and I believe most commercial funding institutions don't provide to that extent, and also access to markets. So that was also a plus for us.
Well, everything of the best to you and your family.
Thank you so much, Tim. Thank you.
Appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks.
Sure. Amka is a South African homegrown company with over 60 years in the health and beauty industry, upholding the vision of the Black Industrialist Policy. Amka has created a platform to raise other industrialists. We met up with Mr. Nizam Kala and spoke to him about his participation in the advancement of the industrialization agenda. Well, gentlemen, thanks that we are able to chat, Nizam. Going back to Maraba Stad days, and Jawu, going back to the Hillbrow days.
Thank you for having us here, and if you look at it, we started as a small manufacturing operation, and we face many challenges. Yeah, so we are in different sectors. The personal care business is broken up into skincare, fragrances, home care, sun care, oral care, and hair care products. So the IDC, we started working with them since 1988, and the DTI has helped us with the place we're standing on currently with critical infrastructure program. So we've been blessed with a lot of support, and we believe that this has helped us fast track our growth to become a meaningful player in the market.
Jabu, you had your own product range, referred to the Hillbrow days, and now you are part of the Amka Group.
You see, I had my factory, you know, in Weinberg. You know, every time when you grow into business, you know, the growth is costly. So it's either you need the external injection, the funding, or you partner with people that are sharing the same idea with you.
Gentlemen, thank you very much for talking to us. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Thank you, my brother.
Thanks for thank you very much. Established in 2014 by two young black industrialists, Terence Liduma and Pumzile Nkomo, Makamisa Foods specializes in the creation of flavored food sauces such as jalapeno and pickled vegetables. Makamisa has since grown to become a notable brand, drawing the attention of key players such as famous brands. We had a moment to engage Ms. Pumzile Nkomo, who let us in on their unique journey.
Well, Mrs. Pumzile, thanks very much for granting me the opportunity to talk to you about your business's remarkable story, or should I call it your remarkable story, because you were there at the very beginning.
We started the business, we were bootstrapping, it was my husband and I in the business, and we used to do expos and your family markets, so we used to, I sold at the markets, and then he was negotiating bigger deals and, you know, trying to get us certified. Now, this product was done by my father in the kitchen at home, and so we were discovered at the market. So famous brands came to the facility where we were contract manufacturing our sauces and our relish, and then they wanted to do business with us. So we approached the IDC back in 2016, 2017, and then we approached the DTI after that. So they, in total, the total funding that they gave us was about 66 million at the moment, which 44 constitutes the CAPEX part of it, and then the rest is just the OPEX. So they've played a very big role in our lives and in the business. Yeah. Okay. Thank you very much. Thank you, sir. Thanks.
With the type of support as we have seen, the Black Industrialist Program has impacted a wide range of sectors and industries across a range of youth and women-run businesses, including established entities. We therefore invite more entrepreneurs to step up as industrialists and take advantage of the schemes within the Black Industrialist Program, as this will surely help grow the South African economy.
Thank you very much, Minister. I'm glad we had opportunity to see those videos. And I heard something very exciting here. Post-funding support. Very critical. Can I just open up to members to for any comments, questions, or clarities they need? Members? It seems, okay, there we go, Honorable Tswaku, and then Honorable Malamecha. Yeah, let's start with those two hands. Honorable Tswaku.
No, thank you very much, Chair. I wanted to ask if the TTIC has got these...
Can you move closer to your microphone, please?
Okay, can you hear me now?
A bit closer. Can you hear me now? Okay, go ahead.
Okay, no, thank you very much. I wanted to check. Can you hear me now?
Yeah, just stay where you are because you're moving away, I think, from your mic when you are probably turning your head.
Okay, you can hear me now. I'm audible.
Yeah.
No, I wanted to say that when the TGIC has got these programs, why the committee members are not invited? For me, it would have been logic. It would have been logic that maybe, you know, you send a letter to the chair or secretary if whatever's going to be happening, then we'll make a decision whether we're available or not. So why are we not invited into this Black Industrialist conferences and all these things that they are doing there? Okay, and then number two, is I saw a slide on jobs and ownerships. I did not understand it quite well. Can the minister go back again there and So what you're talking about in terms of the, from 2000 to 2020, I wanted to check on the period that we have, the budget was approved. How many jobs that were created? How many ownership by blacks? How many black industrialists that were supported in the period? I mean, you can take it from maybe last financial year or before that, just a short period, in terms so that we can track the money that we have approved. Is there any change now? Because I don't want us to claim easy victories or from historical, you know. So I want to check at this point in time with the budget that has been signed off. What is the amount of money? How many jobs that we create and how much the amount of money given? I think with these industrial programs that the DTI is having, maybe we should have we might have a summary to say, in this period, we funded this company. I don't know if it can be done. We have this company created so many jobs. We funded this company and these jobs, like the whole of it, so that you can see if you are making any dent in the unemployment thing is, you know, you making any dent there and maybe creating jobs. Are you effectively creating a job with the amount of money that you are spending? Is it really making a difference? Maybe you'll find that, in fact, you don't have to create jobs. You just have to give people money. And so, Minister, because if you spend $1 billion to create 1,000 or 2,000 jobs, and you've got 1 million people unemployed, this amount, I think it's 4 million, 4 to 5 million. So if you divide that by $1 billion, it means that you can give someone, a person in 2-3 million odd, you know, you can just give the money. The whole people unemployed, yeah, here's the money. So we need to look into that. And I think we've been talking about it. Looking at the unemployment rate in South Africa, looking at the mandate of DTIC, and see what impact are you having in terms of creating the jobs and creating them and ensure that people are employed. That would be very interesting to as for your money. I think the industrialists have a problem, Minister, with the markets. I don't know if I said that. Many of them have a problem with the market because when they apply or they do all this stuff, they have a market. For example, with the chickens, they have a market for them to sell chickens. Or they have a market to supply the coal. Because remember, even this coal, they are taking from those who own the coal, who own the mines. And so many black people are not owning the mines. So many black people are not owning the means of production. Now, how is a department going to ensure that the market availability of the people you are funding is as stable as possible, because you have another crisis now of a company that had a contract to supply the coal, and now he applied to the DTIC. Now Eskom no longer wants his services to really do that, you know, to really transport the coal. What do you do? And there are many cases of this nature, because many of these black industrialists do not own means of production. They don't own the minerals, they don't own the land. They don't own anything. They don't even have money. So it's a risk for them. I mean, I'm happy with the other the presentation at the end of the Archer. It says, you know, innovative, it's good. But how they can kill her is to increase the inputs because she doesn't have the land. They see that her stuff is booming in the market and she's competing now with the famous brand. The only thing that they will do is that is to deal with her in the market where she'll be selling. And secondly, they will just ensure that with the ingredients, her ingredients, the price of those, the avocado, price of oil, price of whatever ingredients for Acha, it becomes so unreasonably high. How do you say, how do you cushion that risk, Minister? Because many of the industries, they don't own means of production, which is fundamental for industrialization. Now, what is your view? Because I don't see any players in the mining industry, like, mining, not supplying, but the mining of mineral. Have you supported any black industrialists there? Mining of your minerals and, the real stuff, man. Real stuff like uranium. Real stuff like gold, diamond, platinum. If you want a man, you've got black industrialists. Because when they mine that minister, the platinum, they are able to create jobs because you can beneficiate the platinum to produce a catalytic converter for the car. And you can export that. So what is happening in that sector? It is very, very quiet. The last one, Chair, is on agriculture. Yes, there's small drop there and there, but we're not hearing an aggressive funding or industrialist there. Because remember, small-scale farming can create a massive job. Because if you've got small-scale farmers and then you are employing 10 people and you've got 1,000 of those, so 1,000 multiplied by 10, those small farmers, you've got 10,000 already. So it's a massive employment that thing is need to be done. But what is the department doing about those things there? And then also, the very, very last one is Minister, I don't know if the chairperson have told you that there was a presentation from different professors from different schools of thought on industrial policy. I don't know maybe if you were appraised by the outcomes. Maybe the committee must draft maybe a report to look into it maybe and send it to your department for consideration. Because there are countries that were like similar to a situation that were like the Vietnamese and other areas that were, industrializing. And they actually are leading now or they are in the forefront of industrializing. But South Africa is moving in a different direction. We are running backwards. I don't know that if you were, you were appraised on that, maybe the chair and the secretariat must draft a report on the outcomes and what was presented, maybe to the interest to yourselves and the committee and the study groups there in your department to really look into it. Are you moving in the right direction now? But because scholars have said that it looks as if you are running in a different direction. Have you looked into that report? Can you appraise that maybe at some time after you study it? And you actually give us your view in terms of what you think. Thank you very much, Chair. Nyabule.
Thank you, Dr. Kwaku. Honorable Malamecha.
No, thank you, Chair. Let me start by appreciating your presentation and further one to...
Can you also move closer to your microphone, please?
Am I audible, Chair?
Okay, proceed.
Can you hear me?
Yes, we can hear you now.
Yeah, I'm saying the presentation and further say, I was part of the conference myself. And these kind of conferences, some of the conferences that we really want to see them happening throughout the countries, throughout the departments. There are things were done practically. We witnessed how people were happy, how people were helped. We witnessed how people are positive to ensure that they improve the economy of the South Africa. They also participate. I witnessed how people are tired of going out and look for jobs. Instead, they are creating jobs, and there were no complaints. People were not politicizing. We're saying the following. With this conference, we've managed to navigate, we've managed to share skills. We have managed to interact with other people, and out of this conference, as the presenter itself is talking about the post-conference, those media statements, they are still even today following some of us who were there, and in a positive way. Bearing in mind that the conference came after the COVID-19, to have such magnitude events where people were displaying their skills of how do they assist the economy that is coming from the pandemic and the unrest. I mean, the July unrest. It was so positive. I think the minister and your team there, you must be applauded. And the very same people who took participation, because their comrades, they were displaying what have they done to contribute to the high number called unemployment. You go to Venda, they were displaying how they hired people in the citrus banana fields. You go to Midland, you see the health team, make sure that they get the high number of people. We are in a serious economic disarray that will not need politics, but instead will need to all of us to work together to ensure that if we talk of black industrialists, we'll be positive and give them a positive support. The other aspect which was appreciated is the manner in which the funding is done, but what they've picked up, and which I believe we are also responding to that, is the lack of one-stop shop, where we must ensure that we assist people to comply, because many are things which we raised by the very same applicant, is to say we realize that we don't comply with 1, 2, 3, 4, and by that time the date is here, then we submit. In many a case, I was not aware. These are the things which we raised, and I think with the approach of one-stop shop that we have proposed with the department, that will also assist. The other aspect which was positive, we just need to see how do we work it, because it will require the other department to come in, was the issue of Transnet. To say, as a fleet that is assisting us economically, so in terms of transporting whatever goods, why is not exempted from load shedding? Because if we are to deal with the target, in many a case, Transnet is load shedded and is stopped. It does not reach the market where we're supposed to do, and we are getting penalized. I'm saying to the minister, without buying your face, one is very decent that if this kind of programs can go throughout the department, we can change this economy. I don't want to differ with what doctor said, but I'm saying this thing of sitting in the offices and rely on the scholars who are not on the ground is not always correct when they come to their judgment. What it is on the ground is that people are there creating more jobs. We just need to unleash more funds, fund them. We just need to unleash land, give them. We just need to give them more support and ensure that they achieve the objective. Thank you very much, Comrade.
Thank you very much, Honorable Malamecha. Honorable Minister.
Well, first, thank you very much, Chairperson. And I'm glad the video worked. I saw the chair, as I said, at work on the technical assistance to Sulu. On a more serious note, Chair, to Honorable Tswaku, I note Honorable Tswaku's keenness to be invited to this. I take that to be really a compliment on how well the conference was run. And I'll bring that to the attention of the team in future. On the jobs ownership in individual black industrialists and the work, the specific questions, we provide detailed reports on a quarterly basis. We also provide budget analysis, and we provide case studies in the quarterly reports that are provided to Cabinet. Today's presentation was really to have a an opportunity to showcase what was done at the Black Industrialist Conference. So that's not the same as the quarterly report of the department, which is available. On the question of the kind of ways in which the state supports job creation, we can do one of three things, and all three of them have their role. We can provide direct job opportunities through things like the social employment program that we highlighted in the quarterly report, or the EPWP that other parts of government does. That has a role. We can provide support to small businesses in and startups and people in the informal sector, where typically the capital required is relatively modest. And that also has a role, because that can help to create opportunities in townships, in rural areas, and it can also help to absorb people who otherwise may struggle to make ends meet. And then we can try to build a modern economic base, working in partnership with the private sector. Those require quite significant capital. In most of the cases, the money, for example, that the IDC provides, it's not grants, it's loans. The NEF provide loans, these are paid back. And if you're going to get to a point where you transform your auto sector, that Black South Africans are component manufacturers, this is a very capital intensive sector. So we don't want to ghettoize Black South Africans in only low value add products in the economy. Black and white South Africans are building a modern, sophisticated economy, and our programs are complementing and supporting the efforts there. On the question that Honorable Swaku raised, a lot of it is philosophical. Representing the ruling party, we have a different set of starting points and end points. For example, I don't believe that in a modern economy, the idea that it's only gold and platinum and the other minerals that are the real stuff. In a modern economy, value is added through human skill and ingenuity, sometimes using your natural endowment. Those would be minerals, those would be climatic conditions that are well disposed to agricultural production, and adding value through innovation, through technology, through human skills and ingenuity. And that's the economy that we seek increasingly to build and to strengthen. The mining sector has an important role in our economy. It provides an enormous resource base, and we need to do more, and we are doing a lot more now on promoting beneficiation. We've highlighted some of those examples in the quarterly reports. And as the DTIC group provided support to black miners, yes, they have. In the IDC annual reports and various reports that the IDC has made available publicly, many of which are on the IDC's website, Honorable Swaku would be most delighted to see the many examples of what has been done here. On the workshop that was held by the committee, I'm delighted that Honorable Swaku found the workshop stimulating and interesting. I am very familiar with the work of all the panelists that were there. I've worked very closely with Fiona Tregenna. She also serves on the President's Economic Advisory Council, and so many of the ideas that she's put in has been taken into account, and I've also nominated her in the past to serve on the Competition Tribunal as a member of the tribunal, bringing a richer set of ideas and thoughts to our work. Neva Machetla, very familiar with her work. She works for an agency that the DTIC draws on from time to time called TIPS. Neva served as one of my advisors. She's also served as a deputy DG in the department previously, and she still from time to time render work for us and gives insight. So we're very familiar with all of that. Chris Malikani in 2009 had done some work for us on various aspects of economic policy. So Honorable Swaku, let's say that these are areas that government has done some careful thinking over the years. There's a lot of schools of thought that we draw on. But at the end of the day, as Honorable Chris Malimecha had indicated, our job is to make sure that we help partner the private sector. In this case, I've highlighted the work we've done with black industrialists, but there are also a number of instances where we provide partnership with white South Africans. There are examples where we provide partnership with foreign investors, and all of these together represents our economic support program. And in spite of heavy headwinds that many of the entrepreneurs in the economy face, we also have many success stories. And it's great to be able to tell those success stories, not because they are not problems, not because we're in denial about the challenges that we must address, challenges like the energy challenges and others. But societies move themselves forward. They're able to deal with the difficulties that they have when they also have inspiration, when they also get inspired by successes. And this is what the presentation today highlighted. And they highlighted only a sprinkling of cases because, of course, the universe of Black South African contribution to the economy is much wider than the few examples that I was able to cite. But nonetheless, thank you very much, Chairperson, for this opportunity for us to be able to provide some feedback to the committee, to get some feedback from the committee. And there's a nice symmetry between the trade discussion this morning that deals with the issues of opening up markets and the Black Industrialist Program of that we've just covered now, which looks at how to utilize opportunities in those markets. Thank you very much, Chairperson.
Thank you very much. Dr. Twaku, do you have a follow-up question?
Yes, Chairman. You're Chairperson, sorry. Chairman.
Yes.
Yes, Chairperson. No, I wanted to say that I think that the response in terms of the minister, it's what I wanted to know, Chairperson. Mine is I believe in science, not just imagining things. One, what I said was that with the jobs that have been created, are you making a dent? Do you feel comfortable that you're making a dent in the unemployment bloodbath? Are you getting the value for money now? That is a very simple answer. I know this because I'm on the ground and I'm not in some boardroom. I look at the theory and I look after the theory, I tend to look at the practicality. Now, with the sprinkle of jobs that are being presented here, like 100, 200, 2,000, well, like that. So I wanted for the minister to say in the period, with the question, in the period that they are there, not like refer me, okay, fine, I'll get it from those references that he has told me about. Maybe ask the question again to him so that I can. I say, with the money that we have approved as a committee, is he happy about the job that has been created now and with all of this? And then I asked I said to him that I didn't ask that if you know the scholars. We know the scholars because we read their publications. They have no problem. We're saying that we took an initiative as a committee, invited scholars. I was suggesting that we give him a report to look at the deliberation, at the science, at the trends that are there. And also we want his views. Maybe he could have said, no, it's fine. I will look at the report. Maybe they must appraise me. I wanted to say the content, not the individuals. We know them. We know all of them. I mean, we at school also said they came and they presented to us. There was different school of thoughts from the ANC, from the DA and other political parties ourselves. But, you know, there was some deliberation. Look at the deliberations and maybe at some point look at what we have, the work we've done. Because we also, I mean, guiding them, because there was some very good data there that was, you know, presented by all scholars to assist him to, you know, to be able to, you know, to things, you know, to create jobs. But it's fine. We all want jobs to be, you know, created. We read, and also when I chair, we look at the solutions and saying that there are countries that were in the same situation as us. And they must also look into that and look at the work that we're also trying to do in ourselves. Thank you, my chair.
Thank you very much, Honorable Dr. Tswaku. I think we will, Minister, request you to maybe at a later stage brief the Portfolio Committee on that quarterly report that you prepare for Cabinet. I don't know if you want to respond to anything else that Dr. Tswaku raised.
Chair, perhaps just to say the quarterly report that I'm referring to is the quarterly report we provide to the Portfolio Committee. And I'm looking forward to the next one, too. Really, just to take note of Honorable Tswaku's comments. Honorable Tswaku asked the same question during the quarter one, quarter two report, and I replied to that question in considerable detail. I don't think I can add more to the question that was asked there. And really, the reason for saying we are familiar with the work of the scholars is the point that I made, that having taken into account the views of scholars across many different disciplines and different schools of thought, at the end of the day, public policy is about choices we make. We've made those choices in the Black Industrialist Program, the choices we made there. There are a number of successes, there are a number of challenges, but we've also been able to celebrate those successes, and I'm sure that both Honorable Tswaku and the other members of the committee will join us in celebrating the successes of people who've built significant businesses and who operate in very, very challenging markets. So thank you very much, Chairperson. I think that's really all that I want to add.
Yeah, thank you very much to the Minister and your team and for this two presentations you gave us today. It is highly appreciated. Members, in lieu of the time, it's now 3:02. The next agenda item, which deals with the BRRR, the formal consideration, I've taken a decision to move that to for us to deliberate on that tomorrow morning. And in our session where we meet as a portfolio committee before we start the rest of the business for today. Can I just ask the Secretary to brief us on tomorrow's program?
Thank you, Chairperson. Chair, we are scheduled to get a briefing from NAMESA and SANAS on the annual report and first quarter non-financial and financial performance for this financial year, Chair. And as you indicated, we will start with the consideration of the bill. And as I forwarded the draft report to members, an updated version thereof, which include the submission from the EFF for members' consideration. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, members, for attending and everyone on the platform. Thank you very much for being part of our deliberations here today. I adjourn the meeting. Thank you.